by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is the morning show on your beloved Madni Channel, where Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we set the tone for the entire day. Alhamdulillah, and the best way to do that is with the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now in today's silsila, we've got a very packed jadwal for you and a beautiful topic. A topic which could change our lives if we listen very carefully, because it is a topic which often we ignore. We don't pay credence to, we don't think about. But when you do, you realize possibly a mistake we've been making all our lives, and that how we can change that by looking at the life of our pious predecessors. But before we start anything, inshallah, we're going to begin with the recitation of the glorious and the amazing Quran. Whenever you start your day, the first thing after you've washed, whatever you're doing, whether you're going to work or children are going to school, if you start your day with the recitation of the glorious Quran, inshallah, you cannot fail. The mercy of Allah will follow you wherever you go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے.
وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصیبا مفروضا
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا.
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو.
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا, تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں.
ان الذين ياكلون اموال اليتامى ظلما انما ياكلون في بطونهم نارا
وہ جو یتیموں کا مال ناحق کھاتے ہیں وہ تو اپنے پیٹ میں نری آگ بھرتے ہیں.
وسيصلون سعيرا
اور کوئی دم جاتا ہے کہ بھڑکتے دھڑے یعنی بھڑکتی آگ میں جائیں گے.
یوصیکم اللہ فی اولادکم للذکر مثل حظ الانثیین
اللہ تمہیں حکم دیتا ہے تمہاری اولاد کے بارے میں, بیٹے کا حصہ دو بیٹیوں برابر.
فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكَ
پھر اگر نری لڑکیاں ہوں اگرچہ دو سے اوپر تو ان کو ترکے کی دو تہائی،
وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ،
اور اگر ایک لڑکی تو اس کا آدھا،
وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِن كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ فَإِن لَّمْ يَكُن لَّهُ وَلَدٌ وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ،
اور میت کے ماں باپ کو ہر ایک کو اس کے ترکے سے چھٹا، اگر میت کے اولاد ہو، پھر اگر اس کی اولاد نہ ہو اور ماں باپ چھوڑے تو ماں کا تہائی،
فَإِن كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ،
پھر اگر اس کے کئی بہن بھائی تو ماں کا چھٹا بعد اس وصیت کے جو کر گیا اور دین کے،
آباؤکم وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا،
تمہارے باپ اور تمہارے بیٹے تم کیا جانو کہ ان میں کون تمہارے زیادہ کام آئے گا،
فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ،
یہ حصہ باندھا ہوا ہے اللہ کی طرف سے،
إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا،
بے شک اللہ علم والا حکمت والا ہے،
صدق اللہ العظیم،
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. When one listens to the tilawat of the glorious Quran first thing in the morning, there is nothing better than it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin, if you listen attentively and your heart and mind is in it, it refreshes you and gives you the determination to go about your day in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, another beautiful way to start your day, oh, subhanallah, what better way would there be than reciting Durood e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to decorate your life with beautiful Naat-e Paks, subhanallah. These become the essence of our lives, and the more we play them in our house, the more we practice to recite them, and the more we teach our kids, alhamdulillah, our characters will improve, but also our kids will grow up loving the Naat-e Paks of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azawajal, we're going to listen to a beautiful Naat-e Pak, and then inshallah we'll move into our topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah sallam alayka ya habib Allah ya Mustafa عطا ہو پھر اذن حاضری کا، کر لوں نظارہ آ کر میں آپ کی گلی کا، اقبال رمضان میں مدینہ بے شک بنا لو آقا مہمان دو گھڑی کا، صلی اللہ علیہ یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ، صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، يا رسول الله تیرے چاہنے والوں رسول اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ. یا نبی اب کو مدینے میں مجھے بلوائیے, یا نبی اب تو مدینے میں مجھے بلوائیے, یا نبی اب تو مدینے میں مجھے بلوائیے. ہو میسر بادب پھر آپ کی گلیوں کی سیر, ہو میسر بادب پھر آپ کی گلیوں کی سیر. یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر, یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر. الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ, الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ. کاش طیبہ میں شہادت کا عطا ہو جائے جام, کاش طیبہ میں شہادت کا عطا ہو جائے جام. جلوہ محبوب میں انجام میرا ہو بخیر, جلوہ محبوب میں انجام میرا ہو بخیر. یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر بولو, یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر. سب غلاموں کا بلا ہو, سب غلاموں کا بلا ہو, سب کر کر طیبہ کی سیر. یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر, رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر. اور جام ایسا اپنی الفت کا پلا دے ساقیا, جام ایسا اپنی الفت کا پلا دے ساقیا, جام ایسا اپنی الفت کا پلا دے ساقیا. سن کر حال دل عطار ہو رو رو کے غیر, سن کر حال دل عطار ہو رو رو کے غیر. یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر, یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر. سب غلاموں کا بھلا ہو, 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 سب کر کر طیبہ کی سیر. یا رسول اللہ تیرے چاہنے والوں کی خیر, الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ, الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ, الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ, الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. The effect that the نعت پاک has on your mind and your mood is amazing. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Listening to نعت پاک in the morning is so refreshing that it really puts you in touch with the day. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And during the نعت پاک, one always thinks of Medina. And if you think of Medina پاک in the morning, then what better start could there be to the day? Now, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, today's topic is really a very, very important one, one that can change our lives, one which if we think about very carefully, then we will realize it. Let me introduce you to it. You know when you're doing some things and you have got the real passion And then you move to something else, and you just haven't got the energy to do it. You think, oh, I'll get by with the bare minimum. The bare minimum will do. But then when I'm doing something I really enjoy and I really like, then I want to spend more time, I want to put more effort in, I want to kind of decorate it. Well, the same applies to the work of Deen and the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and following in the sunnahs of his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let me give you a little example. There were a few youngsters who were praying their Taraweeh Salah. So one or two of them started to complain, oh, my legs, and oh, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. I'm, you know, I can't stand for this long. And they, people there, they said, why, what's up? Oh, I'm, you know, this is difficult. You know, you're standing for such long rakats, and it makes my legs tired. And somebody said to them, hang on a minute. Even whilst you were fasting, and it was close to iftari time, and this is an 18-hour fast almost in this country, you were actually playing outside for 2 hours before. And yet not once did you say that you were tired. And the reply came, but that I was enjoying myself. And there lies the difficulty. We select things that bring passion to our hearts, the enthusiasm to our actions, and the energy that it brings. Unfortunately, in our mind, if we convince ourselves that this is very important and I'm enjoying myself, then it brings the passion and energy. But if we treat things as a byproduct, as something which perhaps isn't that important, it's something I have to do, perhaps I'm being forced to do, then you don't. But when we look at the life of our pious predecessors, their life was truly amazing. Their passion didn't lie in playing games. Their energy wasn't directed to the desire of their hearts. Their energy wasn't directed to what, you know, would decorate their life in front of others. No. They didn't bother what other people thought. They simply evolved around the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what made them really tick, as they say in today's language, is that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with them. And they please the best of creation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let me give you an example. There was a ghazwa, and the blessed companions were returning with the best of creation, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from this battle. And what happened is that they stopped at a place near some mountains. And some of them, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sat down, showed where to pitch the camp, and then said, who's going to watch over us to protect us from the enemy? Aka Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed an Ansari Sahabi and a Muhajir Sahabi. They both climbed onto a small hill nearby to keep watch, to protect the camp. And they discussed that, what's the point of both of us staying awake all night? We may as well take turns. So you go to sleep, to the Ansari Sahabi, and I'll stay awake, and then we'll swap over. So they decided that, and one of them started to keep watch. As he was stood there, he thought, well, better than just stood here doing nothing, because nothing's happening, I may as well pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was the Madani mindset of these people. Whenever they had an opportunity, and whenever they had spare time, you know, like we have spare time and we want to do different things. Whenever they had spare time, they spent it pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. So this Sahabi of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this companion, he starts his Salah. He thinks, I'll pray some Nafl. Now an enemy climbs up onto a hill nearby and sees this man standing there. So he pulls the arrow and he fires. The arrow hits the blessed companion, but yet he doesn't flinch, doesn't move. He then fires a second arrow, and again there is little movement, yet the reality is that blood is coming out. When he fires the third arrow, this blessed companion of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes into ruku, and sujood and completes his salah. Then he moves over to the companion who was asleep and wakes him up. Upon seeing this, the person who was firing the arrows runs away. So the blessed companion who is asleep says, okay, you are in a state where you've been hit by three arrows. So why didn't you actually wake me before? You know, when the first arrow hit, you should have raised the alarm. Why didn't you? And he says, actually, the reality was that I was in Salah and I have this love for Surah Kahf Sharif. And I was reciting Surah Kahf Sharif and I didn't want to stop. So when the first arrow hit, I wasn't bothered, I carried on. When the second one hit, I wasn't bothered. I just wanted to complete this beautiful Surah Mubarakah because I was enjoying it so much. And then when the third arrow struck, I thought that I may fail in the duty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given me. And that's when I completed my salah and I woke you up. SubhanAllah. Look at the passion, the enthusiasm for the love of salah and the love of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. That these companions gave everything just to enjoy the moment. Today, we lack that passion. Today, when it comes to worldly matters, when it comes to, you know, enjoying yourself in worldly things and sporting activities and something that the heart desires, we have no problems. We sit in front of our televisions, we play on our phones for hours on end. But when it comes to salah, we will quickly perform wuzu, and even if we're in, you know, three quarters and a t-shirt, we'll just get down. If we can find a hat, fine. If we can't, then it doesn't matter. And we'll pray our salah quickly as possible and run back to the television or whatever we were doing. Why? When it comes to worldly matters, you don't go to work in your shorts or your t-shirts or your three quarters. But when it comes to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, why? If you were invited to the court of the king, would you even, you know, contemplate going to the court of the king of the time dressed in shabby clothes, with your hair disheveled, without, if the etiquette was a hat, without a hat? Would you then go to the court of the king and then quickly try and get back out of there? No, you wouldn't. You would have a passion to please the king. You would have a passion to present yourself in the best way possible. Now, when one looks at our pious predecessors, that is exactly what they did. When it was the worldly matters, they didn't bother. It wasn't important to them because they knew that this world was a temporary abode. But when it came to pleasing Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was where their energy was focused. That was the purpose of their life. And they had this Madani mindset. And they made sure that they stuck to it. That no matter what happened, their mission in life was the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even if it was caused difficulties, physical difficulties, tiredness, that tiredness brought peace and tranquility to their hearts. SubhanAllah. The life of our pious predecessors are very good examples for us. You know, these great companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every one of them was a star. Every one of them was amazing. And every one of them had so much to teach the world. The problem is today, we take as role models those who don't know what they're doing, those who are lost in the desires of the world. Today, our role models are not these great blessed companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the tabi'in, those who came after the companions, and taba tabi'in, those who came next. No, all the great, great scholars of deen, the buzurgan deen. Let me give you an example. Today we say, look, I know I've got to work, I've got to earn a living, so that's where my passion lies, to earn lots of money. What is that going to get us? Where is that going to get us? Okay, it'll put bread on the table, but it's temporary. But it's not that our pious predecessors simply sat in the masajid and got the tasbih and carried on doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. No. Their life, if you look at it, they were businessmen, they were merchants, they travelled to do their businesses, the tijarat, they did everything. But at the same time, that wasn't what their heart was lost in. No. That was just a side thing that they had to do to put bread on the table. The passion of their life, the focus of their attention, the goal and their purpose was to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why you saw that the great Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all these great people were very wealthy businessmen. They were very, very well established in their business fields. But at the same time, that did not matter. Their concentration was wholly on pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, what we do is we have this passion for business. We will work 15 hours a day to try and make our business successful. But if the business is successful, where will it get you? Just lots of money? What will that achieve? You may think, well, that's the purpose of life. It isn't. Because when one is born, you come into the world, you have nothing. You don't have clothes on your body. When you leave, you are going with three pieces of cloth. There are no pockets that you can take your money with you. There is no safe that you can take anything with you. You leave your car, your bank balance, your children, everything behind. So is that it? Is that the purpose of creation? You came in with nothing, you're leaving with three pieces of cloth? No, my dear Islamic brothers. It was much more than that. You came in with a beautiful book of deeds. Let's see what you do. This life is a test. And what did we do? We, instead of focusing on the goal and the mission and the purpose of our creation, which was to please Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we shifted our focus. Instead of looking where we were going, we started to look to the sides. And that's where we lost our passion. Passion for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to finish his, he used to teach as well, he used to do his business and he used to do everything else. But his passion lay in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. His passion lay in reading the Hadith Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His passion was in the glorious Quran and diving into it and recovering the beautiful pearls and corals and gems and diamonds from it and then leaving them for the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had spent his entire life on this. And you know his personal worship? Allahu Akbar. You know, today when we're at home, our salah is different. When we're in the masajid, if somebody said, let's go to the masjid, we'd put on the jubbah, we'd put on the imam al-sharif, and we'd make sure we comb our beard, we'd put fragrance on, and then we go to the masjid, and when we pray, you know, we'll make sure that we're standing correctly, and we'll make sure that our ruku's are good, and our sujood are good, and, you know, we're prostrating correctly. Why? Because somebody might be watching us. But when we're doing the same action, when we're doing the same action alone, then things change. Then we read quickly. No fragrance, no Imam al-Sharif, the clothes are shabby. Why? Before we go to our reminder, I'm going to give you a little story to think about. There was a pious man of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he was delivering the Friday sermon. And after the Jummah, a person came up to him and said, Hazrat, I'm very upset today. I said, why? He said, well, what happens is I travel a long way and I try and get here early. I listen to your bayan every week and it's a beautiful bayan. And then I pray salah behind you. Now today I was delayed. I managed to catch the salah. So I've read Jummah salah, but I've missed the bayan, so I'm gutted. I'm really upset. And the Buzur rahmatullah said, no problem. They said, sit down. Sat him down. So everybody's gone, sat him down. And they started the bayan again. And they went through the whole of the bayan again. And the people who were the local attendees said, Hazrat, you repeated the bayan, all the bayan, all over again for this one person? And the Buzur rahmatullah alayhi replied, no, I didn't. I didn't do it for him. The one I did it for the first time, I repeated again. The first time I did it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether there was one person or 100 people or 150 people, it doesn't matter. I did it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when he was showing passion, I was also showing passion. And so I repeated the whole bayan for him. Why? Because our action should purely be for the sake of Allah. Now inshallah we're going to go to our reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Welcome back to our daily reminder. Today, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, a very famous and beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding the essence and importance of time. Now, this hadith is, I'm not going to mention the complete hadith, but just the part of the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, take advantage of your spare time before you are preoccupied. Now, this spare time that we have today on our hands, how are we spending this time? Remember, my dear Islam brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Quran, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Allah Azza wa Jal, he swears an oath that every person is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, apart from those who have accepted Islam, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and have done pious, righteous, good deeds. Now, everyone is in loss. Those people, even if you have become a Muslim and you spend your time in useless things, video games, you know, football, cricket, all day. Now, if we think to ourselves how we are spending our time today, this time that is so precious, Hazrat Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that this time that Allah ta'ala has blessed you, you know, take every breath that is coming, every breath that we are taking, every breath is taken closer and closer to our dark grave. We need to take advantage of this. And if we don't take advantage of time now, then as they say, time will kill you. Every second is taking you closer to death. And my dear Islam brothers, let's just see how we are taking advantage of our spare time. You know, we've got spare time on a Sunday, we'll have a day off. What do we do on a Sunday? We wake up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Why? Because I've got a day off, I need to relax. Now, this time is so important that every minute that we are spending in our spare time, that we are not doing anything regarding the deen, we will regret this on the day of judgment. There are so many things to do, but sadly today you can see that the majority, especially of our youngsters, are wasting their time playing video games, are wasting their time, you know, running about in the sports fields, wasting their time, ma'azallah, watching movies, going to cinemas, going clubbing even, astaghfirullah, and our time is being wasted. Now we will regret this on the day of judgment. When we are dead, that is it. You will not be able to do anything. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, time is of an essence. Time is a very important part in our lives. Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has taught us that we should take advantage of our spare time before we get preoccupied. So if you have spare time, not even give spare time to the deen, we need to give our own, our real time, our precious time for our deen, because our deen is precious. We need to give it precious time. This spare time that we say, if I've got the time, I'll go on the Madani Qafila. If I've got the time, ma'azallah, I will go and offer my salah. If I've got the time, I will go and read my salah with the Jamaat. If I've got the time, I will go and learn about the deen. Today, we are saying this, that if I get the time, but when we die, that is when we are going to regret it. At this moment of time, if you look at our youngsters who are growing up in this very fast and, you know, very bad society, you see majority of them, they'll be wasting their time playing video games. They'll be at home, you know, even the parents will buy these video games for them. And today, sadly, our younger generation is growing up where they have no much understanding of the deen. They have no respect for the parents. They have no knowledge of what the love and respect, and that Allah Ta'ala that mentions in the Quran, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, be kind to your parents. They don't even know what this word kindness means towards the parents. Why? The parents need to think, is it our fault? Is it our children's fault? Maybe it is our fault because we are bringing up our children in this world, that we are bringing up our children, you know, we're making them sit in front of the TV. We're having the TV give them tarbiyah. The TV is teaching them. The TV cannot teach them what you as parents can teach them. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, I'll mention again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, the mafhum, the part of the hadith is, take advantage of your spare time before you are preoccupied. Today you are free. You haven't got much to do. Tomorrow, when you busy yourself in the dunya, so many people, when they don't have work, they'll be going to the masjid, they'll be reading their salah. But you'll find many, many people who are not working at all, yet they're still at home, lazying about, sat on the sofa, watching television all day long. Now, we need to understand. If this is my life as a father, that I don't know much about my deen, and I've got my spare time on my hand, and even if I don't have this spare time, we need to make spare time. We need to take time off of our very busy schedule and fit that in so that we can learn and educate ourselves in the deen. Let me ask you a few questions, and I will ask these questions to myself as well. Do we know how to recite the glorious Quran? Do we even read the glorious Quran? Do I know the important rulings of salah? You know, important rulings of cleanliness, important rulings of fasting, because if we are baligh, then all these things are compulsory for us. If I don't know these rulings, can you imagine what my children will be like? Can you imagine me spending my life, you know, in this world, you know, put myself, you know, so busy in this world? Can you imagine what my children will do if I put myself in there? So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, today's daily reminder is, take advantage of your spare time before you become preoccupied, or else when the eyes are shut, we're lowered into the dark grave. That is it for you. No one will be able to come out of the grave and start doing good things, because this world is a place where you do the amal. The hereafter is the place where you are going to be answerable to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a day of reckoning, not a day of amal. May Allah give me and all of us the ability to learn and to take advantage of this beautiful deen, and to take advantage of our time and to learn about the deen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful Madni pearls from our Hafiz Saab on the essence and the importance of time and how we should use it wisely, because every moment we will think back and see how we spent it. You know, there was a king who announced that I've got a special competition. Beggar came to him and he said to him, go and as far as you can get to in the land, go, but make sure you get back to my court. And as far as you have gone, I will give you all of that land. He said, what? He said, yes. He said, you are poor. I will give you as far as you can get in this land. But the only condition is that before sunset, you need to get back to me. And all the lands that you have seen, as far as your eye can see, will all be yours. So happy and excited the man was. So he leaves and he looks at this garden and thinks, well, that's mine. Right, that piece of land is mine, that is mine, that mountain is mine, and he carries on walking. So after Fajr he's set out, comes Zohar time, and he thinks, well, I've come out of many miles now. I think it's about time I started to head back. And he thought, well, I wonder what's behind that mountain. Let's just look behind that and get that as well, because that'll be mine as well. So he goes to that mountain, and then he thinks, well, that's a nice valley, actually. Let's just go there. And then let's just, that little bit there, just that little bit. And by doing this, gradually, the time for Asr came upon him. He then looked and he thought, oh my God, Asr time, Ya Allah, how am I going to get back? So he turns around and starts to head back, because the condition was that he only gets everything he sees if he gets back to the court of the king. So he starts to head back and the sun's going down and he's thinking, am I going to get back? So he starts to run. So now he's running and he's panting and he's sweating, because he knows that to gather all of this and to for all become the owner of everything he's seen, he needs to get back to the court of the king. So he's running and running and running and he's puffing. And eventually, as the sun is about to set, he sees the palace of the king. So he's close and he runs and runs and runs. And just as the sun is setting, he can see the entrance to the palace. And he literally, as the sun set, he throws himself over the line. He's half and half. And as he falls to the ground, because he's been running for the last few hours, there and then, his body can't handle it. And his ruh, his soul, leaves the body. He passes away. Allahu Akbar. He got trapped into this. Why? What did the king say? Did he say yes, he could have the land? Or no, did he make it in time? What was the answer? The answer was very simple. Whether the king gave him the land or not, whether he had managed to get back before the sun set, or he had failed, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because he was no longer in this world. He was now on the journey to the hereafter. Yet, what had he done? He had made all his investment. He had changed all his passion. He had used all his time to gather more and more and more. In the morning when he set out with his beautiful dreams. I will look at all these lands and tonight they'll all be mine. When it came to Zohar time, it was the desires that kept him going further and further and further. And when he started to run back, it was the greed of getting all of this. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, isn't that our life? Isn't that what we do? We set out in this world, and for the first 10 or 12 years, you know, we don't understand. We are, you know, in that child age where we don't know what's happening in the world. And when we get to 12, when we become young adults, then we start to realize, and we get into this rat race, and we start to run about trying to make ends meet, trying to get the education, trying to start work part-time, and then we get full-time and we're completely mesmerized by earning money and getting a lavish lifestyle. And then suddenly, even if some make it, suddenly death calls on our door. And then we have nothing. Everything that we've seen, we've dealt with, like that man, stays in this world. And we depart, but we depart with a book of deeds. Now, if we fill that with good, then that is good. But if we've wasted our time, as Hafiz was saying in the beautiful reminder, then we will regret it in the grave and the hereafter. And what makes you appreciate time? You know, what makes you appreciate time and use it wisely? It is the passion to please Allah Azza wa Jal. When our pious predecessors would have spare time, they would stand in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. They would stand in Salah. So much so that whenever they got the opportunity, they fell down in prostration. Today, when we have the opportunity, the first thing we turn to are these devices. And the first thing we want to do is go on and check our emails and check our messages and then browse the net and, you know, spend time on social media. Why? This isn't going to help us. Not in this world, not in the hereafter. But it's the first thing that our mind turns to. Why doesn't our mind turn to Salah? We're keen to learn things. You know, we spend all our lives picking up little tips to how to improve our work life, our skills, our sporting skills, other things. When was the last time that we tried to learn to better ourselves in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? When was the last time that we said, well, I know I've been praying for 20 years, but am I praying correctly? You know, have I got the concentration? Have I tried to better my Salah? Have I learnt the translation of the Salah so I can concentrate? You know, or am I just kind of making it a ritual where I'm standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal five times a day and I'm just performing some actions, but actions without any spirit? The great Hatim bin Asim rahmatullah alayhi was once asked, okay, oh Hatim, how do you perform your Salah? Do you perform it properly? And he replied, yes. And he said, well, explain to me. The Buzurg asked him, how do you do it? And he, rahmatullah alayhi, said that when the time for Salah comes, I perform my wudu with all perfection and go to the place where I have to offer Salah. Now remember this. You know, when we go to do wuzu, what do? Quickly, we splash water on our face and there are parts dry. Then we let water run down our hands and quickly over the head. And we do, you know, very, very basics of wuzu. If the four farz of wuzu, if any part of that remains dry, so the whole of your face, earlobes below the chin, the forehead, any part remains dry, your wuzu will be incomplete. A lot of brothers, when they're doing their wuzu, they let water run down their arms and there are streaks along the back here. If a hair remains dry up to this place, you know, up to and including the elbow, your wuzu is incomplete. A lot of people, they go to do wuzu They're wearing a hat, and they come out wearing a hat because they don't realize that a quarter of the head they must do masaf. And then when they're washing their feet, they simply dangle them under the water and half of the foot remains dry. Your wudu is incomplete. So we don't have this passion to learn, and we don't learn that because we don't think it's important. Perhaps if we realized that the key to salah is wudu, then we would know. So the great Shaykh says, he says that I perform wudu to perfection. And our pious predecessors, wudu was actually the preparation both physically and mentally to namaz. Performing wudu with the thought that not only is this washing the sins of my hands and my face and my eyes, but more importantly, I'm about to appear in the court of my creator, my master. You know, and so the great Hazrat Hatim bin Asim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, I perform wudu with all perfection and I go to the place where I have to offer my salah. When the time for salah approaches, I stand on the prayer mat in such a manner that each joint of my body adjusts properly into place. I stand in salah, visualizing the Holy Kaaba in front of me, Maqam-e Ibrahim in front of my chest. I imagine my feet on the bridge of Sirat, and while standing and believing that Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of all my apparent and inner thoughts, and everything in my heart is before my Creator. Paradise is to my right, the hell is to my left. Hazrat Israel alayhi salam is standing behind me, and I start the salah with this in mind, that this could be the last salah of my life. I then say takbir with full sincerity and devotion and start recitation with profound concentration and contemplation. Then I perform ruku and sujood, and I complete my namaz, my salah, with entire devotion and humility and humbleness. The person asked, oh Hatim, do you really pray your salah like this? And the great Sayyidina Hatim bin Asim rahmatullahi alayhi replied that I have been offering my salah in this manner for the last 30 years. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine the passion these people had for praying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to go to a beautiful hadith in Mubarakah, and then we'll carry on with our subject. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, no doubt calling towards righteousness is a tremendous form of worship and a means to attain countless good deeds. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's daily hadith, we will hear about such an individual whose reward is unimaginable. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam say that the Mu'adhinun will have the longest necks on the Day of Judgment. Meaning the Mu'adhinun are those people who call out the adhan, who invite the people for the salah. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi alayhi rahma states that the long necks here has been used as a metaphor, has figuratively been used to illustrate the fact that the Mu'adhinun will have a superior rank and a status on the Day of Judgment. In light of another hadith, it is mentioned that whoever gives adhan for 7 years, freedom of hell is recorded for him. And replying to the adhan also has countless blessings and a great blessing to those who hear the adhan being called out and reply to it. They can assure themselves with the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take heed that when the muazzin says, Hayya ala salah, we leave all our tasks and we head towards the masjid to perform our salah with jama'ah. Ameen, bijahi nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful daily hadith mubarakah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to act upon it. You know, offering your salah with passion is really appreciating that you stood in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And perhaps one of the tests that we have is when perhaps not feeling 100%. You know when sometimes you are not feeling very well, but you know you have to go to work because you need to earn a living, so you drag yourself out of bed, you freshen up, you put your uniform on, and off you go. And all the way, you know that I'm not feeling well today, but I have to do this. Why? Because it is essential for me to earn a living. Well, the great and the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal applied that same principle when it came to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where we look for petty excuses, you know, if we're slightly unwell, then we will reduce our salah, we will reduce the recitation of the Quran, we will reduce our zikr. And, you know, when you ask somebody, you know, when they're not well, do you pray? Oh no, I used to pray, but I'm not feeling well at the moment, so that's why I don't pray. And that is no excuse. You know, the great, great pious predecessors, what they taught us was that no matter what condition you're in, there are some fundamental obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal has imposed on us. And Salah is one of them, where you can't pick and choose. You know, the great Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala wouldn't stop when he was injured at the time before he left this world. You know, the companions couldn't wake him up, but what they knew is when the time for Salah came, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala would arise. And that's exactly what happened. He said that the one who doesn't pray has no part in this deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a beautiful narration that Sayyidina Safiyan Sauri rahmatullah alayhi said that the neighbor of Sayyidina Talha bin Masraf rahmatullah alayhi related to us about him that he rahmatullah alayhi was suffering from an illness. We went to inquire about his health, and Sayyidina Zubayd radiallahu rahmatullah alayhi said to him, "Please get up, offer salah. I know that you love salah." And even though his state was quite difficult, he was very, very ill. Without even thinking, immediately he stood up for salah. Today, we look for petty excuses. You know, we seem to pass by salah time, and then we try to make excuses in our own mind. A lot of brothers say that, you know, I miss my salah now. You know, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive them and give them the ability to read the qaza. Because it's not only repentance which is important when it comes to salah. You've got to repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. But you've got to make up for the missed salahs. So when what we say is during the winter months, it's very difficult because all the salahs, you know, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib are very close together within a few hours. So that's when it becomes difficult. You know, some of them work, so, work's difficult. And what we always say is this, if there was £10 for each salah, would you then be using the same excuse? Would you be saying that, no, I still can't pray, it's very difficult during the winter? No, you wouldn't. Even if you were at work, you would march into work the next morning and say to your foreman or your supervisor, you know that break I take at 1 o'clock? Well, I want to stagger it, and I want to break at 1 o'clock to pray my Zohar, give me 20 minutes, and then I want to break at 3 o'clock to pray my Asr, and I break at 4 o'clock to pray my Maghrib, and I can stagger it. Or you can deduct money, even if you can't stagger the breaks, you can deduct a little bit of money from my wages, but give me those 10 minutes. And if most people do that, and the supervisors, the employees allow it. But say, for example, you had an employee who didn't. But if you were getting £10, you'd think, it's not worth it. This work isn't worth it. I'll go find another job. I'll find a job that allows me to pray my salah on time. Why? Because it's worth it. I'm getting 50 quid a day. But when it comes to pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the lack of passion in our hearts and our minds, we don't do that. We don't say to our employer, I need time to do this. We feel embarrassed and shamed, and we're in this inferiority complex where we can't do that. £10 will bring it out to us. But unfortunately, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib and the love of this Salah and the untold benefits that we have from it doesn't do that. And it's all about this passion. It's all about changing the mindset. And this is where Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Madni environment of Dawat-e-Islami comes in. What the Madni environment of Dawat-e-Islami does is gradually, if you're associated with this beautiful Madni environment, is it changes your mindset. It gives you the, puts things into priority and perspective, so that when we come into the Madni Mahal, the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, your priorities might be, you know, the worldly things. But gradually over time, you start to realize that this world is only a temporary abode. You know, the things we do here may benefit us on the face of it for a short amount of time, but the real success and real victory lies in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, in protecting your salah. And then there are many, many brothers that I know who have changed their jobs just to pray salah. I mean, even beyond that, I know one brother who used to come to the Thursday Ijtimaz of Dawat Islami. And then because of his job, he needed to be at work at certain times. So the employers, I said, you need to be at work on Thursday nights at this time. And so he became quite upset. And I remember speaking to him and he said, yeah, I'm really missing the Ijtimaz. You know, the Talawat Quran Park, the Nate Parks, the Bayan, and the Zikr that they do. He used to say the Zikr is amazing. It recharges the batteries for the whole week. And so I'm missing it. I need to do something. And you know what he did? Because of his passion for the Thursday Ijtimaz, he went and changed his job. He took a job that paid slightly less, but Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you know, he was able to attend the Thursday Ijtimaz and he's never looked back and regretted it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the benefits of that he has reaped in his life. And that's the passion that we need to develop. You know, today, we look at social media. We spend hours browsing the net. We look at different books, and there's this trend amongst the youngsters especially who have a passion for reading, to read novels, to read articles, and to gain knowledge. And you speak to the youngsters, and when you talk about science and astronomy and different things, they seem to have a very good understanding of how stars work, how planets work, how, you know, the ecosystem works, how the deforestation is affecting the Earth, and how, you know, climate change is affecting it, and the deep-rooted scientific background of this. And all of this knowledge, it's amazing. Sometimes it, you know, it baffles me. Where do they get all this information from? They seem to know everything about everything. But then, when you ask them about the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you ask them about something very simple like the farz of ghusl, you know, the obligatory obligations, because ghusl isn't simply standing under the shower for 20 minutes. No, to obtain purification, you need to do much more than that. There were some Islamic brothers who were on a Madani kafla traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal for 3 days. And one of the muballighs started to explain that these are the fara'is of ghusl. And there's a beautiful book that Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatumul Aliyah has written on the importance of taharat, on purification. And that has got all the beautiful sunnah way and the fara'is and all the details of ghusl. You can download it free from dawatislami.net. So this muballigh is teaching the people of the Madani kafla, and he's saying, look, these are the fara'is of ghusl, and this is how you take a bath in shari terms, in terms of the deen. And this old person started to cry and weep uncontrollably. The Mubaliks were surprised. You know, why is this Buzur crying? So they said, Hazrat, you know, we're trying to teach you the method of ghusl. Well, why are you crying? And he said, because all my life I've spent in impurity, because I didn't know what ghusl was. It's only now that you've mentioned this that I've realized that I've spent all my life in impurity. I didn't know that there were three farz to ghusl, that you needed to rinse your mouth thoroughly so no part remains dry. If you're not fasting, then you could gargle so water hits the back of the throat. If you're fasting, you could leave that out. You needed to clean your nose thoroughly. You needed to sniff water into the nose so that it hit the soft bone at the top, and so that your nose was thoroughly clean. And then you needed to pass water over the whole of the body so not even a single hair remained dry. That was the proper way of doing ghusl. And yet all our lives, especially our youngsters, we think doing ghusl is standing under the shower for 20 minutes, enjoying the hot water, and that's it, I'm pure. No. And then remember that if you haven't got ghusl, you can't do wuzu, because you can't obtain that purification. If you've not got wuzu, then you can't read salah, and your salah will not be accepted if ghusl is wajib upon you. So all these were essential knowledge, essential farz ulum that we needed to learn. And we didn't. We had time for everything else, but we didn't. And you know, if you think, well, what do I do now? It's too late. You know, who's going to teach me now? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's where Your Dawat Islami comes in. Your Dawat Islami has courses online for Taharat, Namaz, Salah, everything. You can go online and do the social media. They're on social media. You can do these courses for free. If you go to English Dawat Islami, the Facebook page, you can log in there. You can find the details of courses there. The regional pages, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. One thing that really pleases me is during the time we're in with the lockdown and everything else, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you know, the Muballighs of Dawat Islami, they used to go from town to town and city to city to teach the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this proved difficult at this time. But what they did was something even more amazing. Alhamdulillah, and this is the Madani mindset that Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya gives, is that when you do the work of deen with passion and enthusiasm, you will find ways to do it. You won't look for excuses. So it's a lockdown, I'll stay at home and I'll chill out. No, that is not the Madani mindset of the Muballighs of Dawat Islami. What they do is something amazing. During this time, they know that the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still needs help and guidance. So you've got hundreds of different courses online, you've got different things happening, and then daily Facebook reminders, social media reminders, courses, Quran classes, Tajweed classes, and all this is happening right now from London to Scotland, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So if you want that, get in touch with your local Islamic brothers, look on the internet, you will find the Dawat Islami pages and websites and channels, and Alhamdulillah, tune into them. And if you can't do anything else, there's one thing you can always rely on, and that is Madni Channel. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madni Channel, when it comes to passion, it is something that we really need to sit down and think about. You need to think about where my focus lies. Is my focus in reading these novels? Is my focus in reading about science and atoms and their structures and how the electrons and protons and neutrons and quarks work? You know, all this information. And how is that going to help me? It isn't. But why do I read it? To pass time? To enjoy myself? Or what better way to pass the time than to read up on the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What better way is there to pass time than to read the glorious Quran? What better time, what better way is there to listen to the recitation of the Quran and listen to natipaks? That's where you could focus your attention. That's where you could enjoy life. Let's enjoy a beautiful kalam. And just imagine if every time you were slightly down, you felt slightly, you know, depressed, you turned on a beautiful Nati Pak and just enjoyed it. Alhamdulillah, that would lift your mood. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Madina.
جانو دل سے ہے پیارا کہ رہتے ہیں میرے آقا میرے دلبر مدینے میں گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے جسے او شاخ کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق جسے او شاق کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق وہ ہے صحرا تیرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے مدینہ کو بھی نبھائے
سے خطاؤں پر خطائے ہیں، گناہگاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائے ہیں، مگر تجھ سے عطا ہے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے، رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے، رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے، فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے، تیرا ہی نور تھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں، گنبد کے مدینہ کو بھی نبھائے، رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی، گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی، نظر فرما ذرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں، گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے، رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان، وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان، ان آنکھوں سے دکھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں،
خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر، خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر، کرے تیری ثنا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں، بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے، رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. The Nati Park, it really lifts your soul and the energy. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Next time, whenever you are slightly upset, slightly depressed, just turn on a beautiful Nati Park, and preferably the Kalam of Ala Hazrat. Honestly, amazing. It will really boost you. Now we've got a very special section for you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We've got a very beautiful brother from London, our Dr. Khurram Sahib, inshallah azza wa jal. He will be joining us and we will be speaking to him, inshallah azza wa jal. Dr. Sahib, can you hear me?
Ji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Dr. Sahib, nice to see you, mashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, our topic of today is passion for worship. And you know, in your busy schedule at the moment, obviously with all your duties and everything else, you still find the time, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, as well as your personally, by the way, which I've no doubt you do as well, to do the work of deen. Where do you get the passion from?
MashaAllah. I think certainly the greatest inspiration for us all, undoubtedly, is the personality of Amir Ahlus Sunnah Da'wah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
You know, when you see a, you know, such a great scholar, and you can see how he can dedicate his time and the passion he carries for the betterment of the Ummah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, it's sometimes I feel it just puts us to shame. You know, so I was listening to you earlier, and you're absolutely right. You know, we know everything about the atomic theory, about climate change. You know, we've got everything covered. But you turn around to a person like him, and it reminds me, he said that, you know, when I want to energize myself, then I stand up for Salah.
Subhanallah.
When I'm feeling down, I feel a bit tired, I feel a bit fatigued. And of course, that's the, even the fatigue is for an Islamic reason, because he spent his entire day writing or, you know, doing live, whether in Muzakara or whatever it is. And then he says, you know, when I feel that I need some energy, what is the better way than to actually stand up, do wudu, and stand in the court for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? If you're such passion, because sometimes, you know, the, it's very common for us to hear that, you know, the, all these incidents you narrate, they are from these people from 1,000 years ago or hundreds of years ago. Or, you know, what relevance does that have to me in today's day and age, in today's era? And I say, well, you look no beyond than Amir Ahlus Sunnah.
Subhanallah.
If he can do it with no resources when he started, then, you know, shouldn't we actually carry some, at least an element of that, you know, of that passion for his sake, and say, well, if he can do it, then at least I should contribute as much as I can.
You know what even surprises me more is that, you know, when people are successful, Dr. Saab, and, you know, they're doing well and everything's flowing beautifully, they sit back and they think, you know, mashallah, things are going well now. But with Amir Ahlus Sunnah Da'wah Barakatuhum Al Aliyah, you look at the history of Dawat Islami, and every time a department has done well, anybody else would have thought, yep, I've done well there, you know, I'll sit back and enjoy it. No, the passion that Amir Ahlus Sunnah Da'wah Barakatuhum Al Aliyah has is, right, what's the next department? And gradually, over time, last night, you know, we were discussing on the Seri program that, you know, 108 departments now, you know, and every time, and I'm not talking about small departments, I'm talking about amazing departments. Each one of them would be an achievement of a lifetime. And Amir Ahlus Sunnah Da'wah Barakatuhum Al Aliyah, to give you, give us a glimpse of his amazing passion for the work of Deen. There are 108 of them, but I'm sure that our beloved Amir Ahlus Sunnah is probably thinking of the next one as well.
Absolutely. So yeah, so this sort of this undeterred desire, this...
I like that word, undeterred desire. Beautiful words.
This his untiring efforts, his dedication, his devotion, it's absolutely second to none. And, you know, and it, as you said, it does really give us a glimpse into the life of, you know, if someone really wants to do something, to achieve something, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens ways for you.
Subhanallah.
If one were to take a step towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He would open ways for us. So, yeah, and his blessed life is an example. And the other thing, you know, so when I was, you know, talking to sort of my friends in circles, I say that, you know, now I consider, you know, the environment of Dawat Islam, and certainly the personality of Amir Ahlus Sunnah, that he's not a person anymore. He is a phenomenon.
Subhanallah.
He's a movement himself. You know, he's not just the face of Dawat Islami, he is it. I mean, and it tells you that when you've got person like him, who can, you know, with, despite all the, you know, the problems and everything which we all face, and if he can go and you know, with that feeling, with that, the motive, the to go and change people, it's achievable. It's still in today's day and age.
Just on that kind of point, I'm going to put you on the spot, because, you know, we were saying that these stories are of the people of the old. Well, you know, Dr. Saab, today we listen to, you know, people telling us that Islamic Brothers are still, there are some Islamic Brothers who are reading like 70, 80 rakats a day. So, you know, they're doing the tahajjud, ishraq, jashud, awwabin, the five daily prayers, 20 tarawis, and then extra nafil as well. You know, 70, 80 rakats, over 150 prostrations a day. Now, it sounds mind-boggling, but how does Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliya manage to give people this passion? And then, you know, when it comes to the glorious Quran, this was an era where gradually we were coming away from the Quran. And yet Islamic Brothers tell us that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they are reciting 3, 4, and 5 paras a day. They're reading the English translation, they're reading the tafsir from Salatul Jinan Sharif. And then there was one brother, this was amazing, Dr. Saab. We were on a Madni Kafla with him, and he was doing everything we were doing, but he was reciting Durood-e Pak 12,000 times a day. And, you know, it was just amazing. Now, you know, we struggle to get a passion for worship and for obedience of Allah and for good deeds. Where does Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliya get this amazing passion, which he seems to be spreading out throughout the lands? I mean, it's just baffling.
Absolutely. And I think that's where it comes down to the basic difference. When we talk about the ibadah, the worship, I think the difference is that the way I see it, that there is, so there is Quran, and then there is nur of the Quran. There is zikr, and then there is nur of the zikr.
Subhanallah.
So I think sometimes I feel that we sometimes just pay a lip service. So yes, we are doing, and mashallah, they're a very passionate brother, and I'm sure, you know, I have no doubt in terms of their dedication and what they've achieved. But sometimes, you know, if I were to ask myself, well, why can't I do it? And if I were to self-contemplate, then I think on reflection, one would think that actually, yes, these are the words which I'm saying, but have those words actually carry that nur?
You know,
does that frequency match of those words with the wavelength of my heart? And when it does, that's when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then gives you the ability for those powers, those spiritual powers, to transcend beyond you.
And Subhanallah, I was just going to take what you said there, that, you know, the when the words are in sync with the heart, then it brings out the nur, is the essence of what you were saying. And I was just going to take it one step further, because this is where we break down. When the words are in sync with the heart, and then the body is in sync with the words, everything flows beautifully. So then where is you get the example that inspires other people. Subhanallah, Dr. Sam, Jazakallah for that. Your beautiful words are kind of inspiring me now, mashallah.
I mean, he's truly inspirational. I mean, and I think it goes back to, again, you know, the saying of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The meaning of that is that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when someone is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it's a long hadith, but the last bit of the summary is that then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gives his qabuliyah, his acceptance in people's hearts. And that's what we see. So this is that qabooliyat-e-amma, you know, this worldwide, this global acceptance of that concept, of this, you know, understanding, and then to bring, keeping it relevant to 21st century. I think that's where the credit is due to Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu.
Subhanallah.
How inspirational that is. And as you said, 107 departments, and that is across all walks of life. You know, so you would say doctors, engineers, you know, lawyers like yourself. I mean, whichever field we look at, how could one person who has, you know, apparently very little in terms of worldly credentials, and then there are all these people who are sitting there listening to him and, you know, completely they're changing, revolutionizing their lives thanks to him.
Subhanallah. You see, this is the amazing thing about these great buzurg, these great friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, that, you know, when somebody like us, we change our environment, we change our life for the better. But these great people of Allah Azza wa Jal, what you very beautifully encompassed there was they have this special light, this special nur. And that nur isn't just limited to lighting their surroundings, but they light the life of everybody around them as well. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you know, they take you out of the depths of darkness. I mean, you know, a lot of brothers, you know, we've got up and down the country. We had Vaseem Bhai on the program last night. We've got Dr. Zirakza, we've got yourself. A lot of us, we went through the normal procedures of college, university, and into jobs and everything else. But hand on heart, Dr. Saab, there was something missing, wasn't there? And we didn't have it. And until we came into the Alhamdulillah, the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, and that really gave us a true perspective of life. It really showed us who we were and where we were going.
Absolutely. And I think that's what, if you were to ask, you know, anyone, it would exactly, I think, they would all echo what you've just said. And I think that's what the global acceptance, the liking for Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mulali. When he's trying to inculcate, you know, the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in people's heart, that, you know, as I was saying earlier, the key quality and the attribute of his personality is that it is, you know, it is nonstop. It's, you know, the fragrance of what he's doing, it just keeps spreading and spreading. People think, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, you, if someone were to go and say, look, you know, for example, I've read a book, you know, so for example, Faizan-e-Namaz, the Blessings of Salaf come out, and then he's, you know, inspiring everyone to read that. And once you've read it, and then he would say, yes, mashallah, it's great. But what's the next task? And then we have got these weekly booklets coming out. Okay, you need to read that as well. So you've read that. Well, what's
next?
So he's driving, you know, like a good parent would hold his child's finger and take him step by step through the stages, the phases of life. That's what Amir al-Sunnah is actually doing for us. He's taking us step by step.
The thing that really baffles me is this. That say, for example, a lot of us, we know how important Salah is. Our parents, we know how important it is to respect your parents. Yet a lot of us fall into this mistake of kind of not treating, giving Salah the importance or not giving our parents the respect and honor they deserve. But then, you know, people tell us around us, and it doesn't seem to sink in, but Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mulaliya sits in the Madani Muzakaras and makes one comment, you know, and says, you know, these are the people who brought you up. You need to have mercy upon them. Glorious Quran tells you. Why does that stick in the heart? Why does it stick in the mind? Why does it make you act upon it? We knew that information, but we weren't acting upon it. Help me there. You're saying phenomena, and I wrote down, that's a phenomena in my mind. Because, you know, the words, you and I could say something, and maybe our immediate family may listen to us. But Amir al-Sunnah says it, and the world over, people are dying to implement it. You know, how do you explain that?
I think that's where, like I said, it comes to perhaps one of those divine qualities. So when someone is blessed with that special acceptance, that presence in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then his words can wait. So, you know, I mean, as we hear from Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala, the moment he would start his speech and people would start crying. So I think that's what, and sometimes the example I give is that, you know, when somebody's training for the army, and I'm sure the students of physics would know that it's taught to as a physics concept as well. So when they're marching, they are told that don't march on a bridge. And why is that? Because if you march on a bridge and your frequency matches the oscillating frequency of that bridge, it's likely to break. So they are told that actually it's as part of this physics, you don't want those frequencies to match and let that happen. And I feel that is, I guess, the difference. So sometimes we are talking, you know, you are talking, alhamdulillah, we are talking. But the difference there is that actually it's that maybe the problem might be with our receptors, but also with the transducer. But when it comes to the transducer of Amir al-Sunnah's heart and his blessed words, they carry, you know, it is able to go through so many wavelengths. And take an example of radio. You know, if you're an FM radio, it covers so many higher bandwidth compared to, for example, AM radio. So when you have a person who is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that's what they can do. They can speak at so many different bandwidths that actually whichever, you know, bandwidth you fall in, it will make a difference.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And I suppose this is one of the beauties of the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, that no matter who it is, whether it's somebody who is learned or somebody who is perhaps not so learned, their words are so beautiful. They touch the heart of everybody. And likewise with Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, the reason for, we were saying a few nights ago, the reason for its phenomenal success is that Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliya's eyes, you know, people fix their eyes to different things, and his focus and his attention is fixed to Medina, and that is his destination, that is his goal. And therefore, whatever stations there are on the way, the 108 departments of Dawat Islami are just stations on the way to Medina. Dr. Sahib, Jazakallah khair for your time. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. Some beautiful Madni pearls there, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will give you the trouble of asking for your time again, inshallah Azza wa Jal, in the future. But Jazakallah khair, that has been beautiful Madni pearls. I even wrote some of them down, mashallah.
Jazakallah khairan. Do remember in prayers, please.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. A very beautiful exchange with our Dr. Saab. And you know, what he was saying was in essence that this, to develop this passion, if we're with the good people, you know, we're with the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we will get the passion for the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if we sit at home and we're watching movies and we're in our normal routine and we're missing our salah, and then we expect and we want, you know, the passion of deen in our heart, it's not going to happen. You know, to change, you have to change your environment. You have to have a madni mindset. And we would struggle to do that on our own. Inshallah, we're just going to go to a short clip, inshallah, and then we'll come back to our topic. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani channel, Allah Azza wa Jalla has once again bestowed that time of year when the hearts of Muslims are softened, are inclined in giving towards charity. Our Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "Inna sadaqata alal miskini sadaqata," that giving sadaqah to the poor is charity. وَعَلَى ذِلْرَحِيمِ إِثْنَتَانِ صَدَقَةٌ وَصِلْأَةٌ. And giving charity to a relative is both sadaqah and sil'ah, i.e. connecting ties. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, Dawat Islami is working in approximately 105 departments across the globe. When you are giving your charity, give firstly to your relatives and your neighborhood, and not forgetting your favorite organization, Dawat-e-Islami. Some of the departments which Dawat-e-Islami is working in, one of the departments, Madrasatul Madina, where children are taught the Quran according to the correct pronunciation. Another department, Jamiatul Madina, an Islamic university creating Islamic scholars of Islam. There are approximately 606 centers across the globe. When making your donations, donate to Dawat Islami.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, we heard about how the work of Dawat Islami is spreading all over the world, and alhamdulillah, how the brothers are working tirelessly day and night. Now, another area where our passion is sometimes perhaps misfocused, so we kind of miss the target, is when we're giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, when we're spending for our family, when we're spending on, you know, things for our children and everything else, we don't hold back. But when it comes to the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, the way of our pious predecessors was amazing. You know, they gave everything in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And despite giving, you never get short. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed that if you give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, your sustenance will not decrease. In fact, it increases manyfold. And when it comes to giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes we're reluctant. We have certain kind of whispers of the shaitan. Is it going to the right place? Is it doing this? Is that happening? Is this happening? And alhamdulillah, we should avoid those. We should give. At this time of difficulty, let me give you an example of giving. You know, Rajab, Shaban, and Ramadan, three very important months in the calendar of Dawat Islami. You know, we heard about the 108 departments of Dawat Islami and how they're working tirelessly. Thousands of children learning the glorious Quran, as we were hearing in the package. Thousands of students learning the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jamia students, Darul Madina. You know, you go on to dawatislami.net, there are hundreds of books there translated into different languages. And then you have the 24-hour muballigh of Madni Channel in front of you. All this costs hundreds and thousands of pounds. Hundreds and thousands, millions. And all this is only possible through people like yourself who help Dawat Islami. Now, as well as giving to others, we should think about Dawat Islami, because I tell you why. Amir Ahl Sunnah's Madni mindset is amazing. Rajab, Shaban and Ramadan was the 3 months where the main funding for Dawat Islami's Madni work throughout a year came. Now at this time, we came to this difficult time where the world was facing a significant calamity. So what did Amir Ahl Sunnah do? The 3 months were very important for Madni funds, but Amir Ahl Sunnah said that Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needs us at this time. Leave everything else and go out and help them. Give them money, give them food, give them whatever you can. Raise money for them. Forget everything else. Let's help them first, because they need to put food and bread on the table for these children. Then when it came to blood, the blood banks were short. Amir Ahl Sunnah again said, he even said, I will give blood as well. This is the Madni mindset he gave. And with that Madni mindset, we need to know as well that the work of the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will continue. So give to the poor, give to any relatives who deserve it. But also, when you're giving your funds, don't forget your Dawat Islami. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the blessings and barakats. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.